drinks last night. No hangover.
Why didn't you have any drinks last night? The rest of us got all liquored up, so why didn't you? What makes you so special?
Well, I think I had maybe one too many last year.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, everything seems to be in order here, except we need an adapter, you know, for the headphones. And I'm hearing something else in the headphones, come to speak of it. But we'll have fun nonetheless. Let's start the show!
Good morning! A brighter day is here. Good morning! May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Well, well, well. Welcome to today's edition of the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. We got a real special guest today. Actually, this special guest has been on before, but it's still special.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Overseas the past couple of weeks, things have looked fairly bleak with a number of situations brewing abroad. The Ukraine elections were held November 21st, only to be disputed with the situation hopefully to be mediated soon. In Iraq, with elections looming in January, groups are calling for the delay of elections there, and in Iran, there are plans for enriching nuclear fuel which could lead to the development of nuclear weapons. Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with your host Michael Zwirling and special guest, foreign affairs expert and published author, Lena Farhat Holtzman, as we discuss the affairs of the world. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon on your Peace on Earth and Goodwill Towards All. Not radio station, KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz.
Great voice. Whose voice is that on that? That's a new voice on the Saturday Special promo.
That's Rick, the intern.
Actually, I knew who it was. I was just testing you to see if you were paying attention.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, he's real. No, not sorry. You passed with flying colors. It was great. He's pretty good too.
Very good.
19 years old with a voice like he's 45. I mean, pretty cool. Yeah, that's. That's nice. Lena, welcome back to KSCO. It's always a delight to see your smiling face.
It's always fun to be here.
Well, I can't think of a better person to enlighten us about what's going on in that part of the world, Iran, where you used to live, actually,
that's
huh?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, scary, huh?
Well, it depends how ready you are to be scared.
Oh, good. I hope you'll make me get me to relax.
I'm going
to make
you feel better.
Please. Yeah, no, it's gone. It's gone. It's good. Thank you.
The Chinese so mildly say, may you live in interesting times, and people don't realize that's a curse. They don't think of that as good. We are living in interesting times.
Uh-huh.
For us in the West, I think that I rather like it. I like the excitement.
So what have you, what's your analysis? It's been a while. I don't think you've been on the station since the election, am I right?
That's right.
Are you pleased with the election or are you upset with the election?
I was very conflicted over the election. And, of course, once the election was over, whoever wins is my president. This is how I do it.
See, now you're a reasonable person.
I really think that our system depends on that, and I can't stand the polarization that's gone on.
And it's still, and it's still there, huh?
It's still there.
I was hoping that some of it would have gone. Well, some of it probably
has,
huh?
You know, I think for the moment, at least the way Mr. Bush won took away any shadow on his legitimacy. I saw this morning in the paper that they were recounting in Ohio, and Kerry had more votes than they had thought, but it still wasn't enough to have won. So, you know, there's no doubt about it that he won legitimately.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether we like it or not, he's our president for the next 4 years.
Wow. Yeah, well, and I sort of like it. I mean, I do like it. I mean, you were, yeah.
I'm conflicted. There are.
Is it too personal a question to ask who you voted for?
I voted for Kerry at the last minute.
Lena voted for Kerry.
I did. Holding my nose, I voted for Kerry. I was very reluctant, but my husband canceled me out because he voted for Bush, and we each had very good reasons. We have been talking, you know, we're, again, both of us believe in being good citizens. Whoever is president is our president for both of us. But
I might have to reassess my thinking that only stupid people vote for
Kerry.
Well,
see, that's what makes for polarization. You better know that people who are not stupid did.
Well, I know you're not stupid, and here you told me you voted for Kerry. That's why I'm saying I might have to rethink my thinking about that.
I can tell you what the issues were that made us decide.
Either stupid or just painfully misguided.
No. We had to decide, each one of us had to decide which issues were most pressing for the next 4 years. And right up almost until the end, I thought that security would be, because that's been a big thing with me, the whole idea of the war on terrorism.
It couldn't have been at the end, because if it was at the end, even you would have voted for Kerry, for Bush, right?
I finally decided that the security things were going all right, and I sort of told myself that Kerry wouldn't have done much differently when he's in power. He couldn't. I was hoping for a bipartisan foreign policy, mm-hmm. and the domestic issues got me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I made my decision. My husband made his on the basis of foreign policy.
Uh-huh.
And we crossed. I mean, you know, this is, he said he wasn't happy voting either.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't happy that Bush apparently does not like California and that we pay for it, because in power we don't get anything. We're not on his list of good states.
That's exactly right, because we don't vote for him as
That's
a state.
Right. That's right.
As a state.
So
I am so
that.
Ashamed of my state for that reason, but there's nothing I can do about
that. No, we just have to hang in there and support them any way we can.
Yes, and that's what I appreciate. But you know what? I believe that probably 80% of the people who voted for Kerry, the ones who voted holding their noses are probably mm-hmm. going to be just like you.
Yeah.
We have to support our president,
yeah.
even though my guy didn't win. But everybody else, you know,
the
anybody but Bush, you know, someone's parakeet for president instead of Bush. You know, and there's a lot of those people. I mean, just totally irrational people out there who would rather have anybody or anything than Bush.
But see, that's a negative, and it never wins.
Right. Oh, right. So that's probably what tipped the scales.
If people had trusted,
because Bush wasn't all that negative.
No, and if people had trusted and loved Kerry enough, if he was the kind of person who could really inspire confidence, he would have won.
It was his to lose, or should we say the Democrats? It was the Democrats to lose on their attitude.
Although it's very difficult to unseat a sitting president, really is. It doesn't happen very often.
That's true, but there was so much hatred for Bush. I just couldn't believe that he would be reelected.
Well, Michael,
and I'm very surprised that he was.
Remember the hatred for Clinton. And he was reelected. And so I think we have
to
recall.
I know the conservatives were always on his case for everything. I know that. But hatred is I don't think so. I wouldn't put it in the same class.
There wasn't
a war that was dividing the whole country.
No.
You know, and that's what really created the hatred for the people who were against the
Well, I think the hatred was also the way he was elected the first time. The idea of the recount and the feeling that he was Bush, too, you know, it offended a lot of people. He didn't seem to be, he hadn't earned his spurs long enough for people to think that he won it on his own. He won it because of who his father was. And I think that offended an awful lot of Democrats. But, you know, once 9/11 happened, I think that he sort of snapped, too. And as far as I'm concerned, policy was right.
You know what? That is such a specious, ridiculous argument about that people get hung up on things like someone won something because of who their father was. Now, on the website, so I haven't taken it down. I just haven't had a chance to go to the KSCO.com website and pull it down. And hopefully we're going to have someone who will, you know, maintain that and make it much more fluid and so forth. But right now, if you were to go to the KSCO.com website, anybody can go there. The first thing you see is MZ says, click here and listen to a great moment in radio. We have a clip of a 5 or 10 minute clip of Howard Stern calling a KGO radio talk show. Okay,
really?
Now why would I be promoting that on KSCO? Just because I'm a radio purist and I think it's great radio.
What did he say?
Well, Ron Owens was interviewing Michael Powell, the head of the FCC,
mm-hmm.
and Howard Stern, who hates Michael Powell's guts,
mm-hmm.
got wind of it somehow and called in as a caller. And to Ron Owens' delight, he says, "Is this the Howard that I think it is?" You know, and the guy proceeded to just be in the face of Michael Powell. And the first thing, what he was saying to Michael Powell, which I think is totally irrelevant, is everybody knows you only got your job because of your father and stuff like.
That's not necessarily so.
Well, it's not necessarily so. I say it's not necessarily so that George Bush Jr. got his job because of George Bush Sr. was president, you know, two presidents ago.
Maybe not. It yeah. just appeared that
I
way.
I think he got elected. Other people say he got selected and it was unfair and he stole the election.
The Supreme Court did make the decision not to allow any further count. It was tainted. Let's just say that it was tainted. This second
okay.
one wasn't.
Well, the point
tainted.
I'm making is that people with the mindset of things that are absolutely irrelevant, I put that in the same class as what I said about the Howard Stern interview.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Stern is a great broadcaster, no question about it. But being in Michael Powell, there are plenty of other things to be in Michael Powell's face about other than, you know, you got your job because of who your father is.
Right.
So... the interference is back here in the headphones here. I if anybody this is really crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for this. I want to know if anybody else out in our listening audience is hearing interference because I'm hearing a lot of interference on my headphones and it's not acceptable. I'm hoping it's just here in the studio. If you're hearing any interference out there in KSCO land, I want you to give us a call at 475-1080. And let us know if you're hearing that, okay? Because hopefully it's not, and I can probably just live with hearing the interference here.
Seems to have stopped.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here. But so much. So we're talking about Bush
about
and Kerry when we
yeah.
should be talking about world affairs, huh?
Well, they are part of world affairs.
Well, not Kerry. He's
well, look at
not anymore.
In particular, Kerry, yes, in a way, because
really?
The Europeans really wanted him to win. You know, they
yeah,
were
I
all
guess.
Involved. I understand that a couple of countries did not want him to win, and it was very interesting. India was in favor of Bush.
Uh-huh.
Because they were really afraid that if Kerry won, he would stop the outsourcing of jobs that
yeah.
he said he was going to do. And India has benefited enormously from this.
Right.
So that was one country that was certainly in favor of Bush winning.
Uh-huh.
And I think there were a couple of others as well. But mostly in Europe, oh my goodness, it was so hostile. People couldn't understand how we could have reelected him.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to get used to it, and there's a lot of making up going
yeah,
on right now.
Yeah, that's my message to the rest of the world.
Get used to it.
Right.
Well, that was our
and
choice.
And that's your message, too.
Yes, it is.
Good. Gee. What else is there to talk about?
Oh, my goodness,
there's
a great
lot,
deal.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to talk about? Tell me what's been bugging you here about what's going on here that we as if there's anything we can do about it.
All the things that I think are really interesting have to do with I'm thinking not the Crimea, but
the what?
What we were talking about initially. I'm having a senior moment here, talking about the Ukraine.
You're a senior?
Yeah, yes.
I never would have known.
talking about the Ukraine and that thing that we're watching around the world where the young people in Kiev are really standing out there, and it is very cold, and they're out there supporting a candidate who lost by a really dirty election. And the Russians are supporting the dirty election, probably played a role in it. And we're watching this unfold. This would have been very, very scary 10, 15 years ago. And it's amazing to see it unfolding now. I think Ukraine may split. It may split into two different countries. But let's hope that it will be peaceful like Czechoslovakia did. the Czechs and the Slovaks were just as different as the Ukrainians are from East and West.
I'm going to show my ignorance now. It happens a lot, but it's sort of just warning everybody here. In the news a while back, in the last couple of weeks, Colin Powell gets on and says, this is something that we will not tolerate. Okay?
Right.
Now, can that kind of a Eric, I mean, who the hell are we to not tolerate it?
We were letting the Russians know that we're not going to let them do what they would have done 10 or 15 years ago, which would be to squash the democracy movement.
Uh-huh.
And what I think
is... which I think is a good thing. But isn't that going to make things that are already, you know, dangerous and explosive with a divided country even more divided? I mean, not that I thought that they shouldn't do that. I mean, you got to do...
No, I think the fact that we did it, we were adding our voice to Europe, which has been doing the same thing. And this is very interesting. On this issue, Charles Krauthammer...
So we could get together. We could get together
on this issue, and Charles Krauthammer had a column in this morning's paper that I thought was interesting. He said that, isn't it lovely that the United States and Europe has gotten together on the Ukraine issue, and yet they're not together on the Iraq issue? And he said what he sees is that the Europeans think that they want to have democracy in Europe. They don't care what anybody has outside of Europe because they don't think that those foreigners are fit for it. And, you know, he's got a point. The Europeans are rather snobby about this. And we're saying that the same thing that applies to the Ukraine. I mean, their democracy is 14 years old. For goodness sakes, that's not very old. And they're showing their stuff now.
Right.
And what we're saying is that
So we have more to worry about our own country.
Well, our own country, but we're saying in the Middle East.
With respect to
democracy. That we believe that democracy can work in other places, not just Europe.
Right.
So that's idealistic on our part. I'm not sure that the Europeans are wrong, but I'm awfully glad that we're as idealistic as we are.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I like our giving them a chance. This is something that they've never had in the Middle East. They've never had one decent government, really, outside of Israel and most of the time Turkey.
Yeah.
They just have not had.
Why do you think the sentiment about the world sentiment against Israel, which is, it's been there since Israel was there.
That's true.
And it seems to be getting worse. Is it here in America and elsewhere in the world?
I think it's
peaked. That's not my imagination.
It isn't your imagination, but I think it's peaked, and I think it's going to go the other way.
Why?
There are a lot of indications that this is the window of opportunity for the Israelis and the Palestinians to end that thing. And I think that...
Because of the death of Arafat?
Yeah. Oh, it's marvelous that he's gone.
Uh-huh.
Really is.
For sure.
It means now it's possible because Arafat was sitting on it like a great toad and nothing could move. And I think that now a number of things can happen that are going to be positive. And when they do, nobody is going to be able to use the Palestinians as an anti-American and anti-Israeli screed anymore. This has been a left-wing thing in alliance with third world notions of third world solidarity. It's really silly. But this has been around for quite a while, and it has gotten worse.
Okay. Now, as expected, I guess some callers were upset that you voted for Kerry, I guess. Okay. And I'm supposed to ask if you have read Unfit for Command. A caller wants to know if guest has read Unfit for Command and her comments, if so.
No, I haven't, but I read The House of Saud and The House of Bush. And that had a lot of very interesting information on the connections between our presidents, and not just the Bush family, but our whole government with the Saudis. So I think, you know, I thought about that for a while, too. But this Unfit for Command, and I didn't read it, and I didn't go to Michael Moore's movie either. So
why didn't you go to Michael Moore's movie?
Because I went.
I went to Michael Moore's movie the day it opened because I was excited.
I went to Columbine, his Bowling for Columbine, and
yeah.
I was so offended by it, in spite of the fact that I don't like guns.
Yeah.
But that was a devilish thing to do, and he was nasty in it, and I didn't like it. And he's like
freshman. It was that way in Fahrenheit 9/11 too. It was true, but I was amused by the whole thing. I was amused by all these idiots in the theater with me who were applauding every time.
I've already been through that once and decided not to do it again. I wasn't going to give him my money.
Yeah,
that wasn't going to make my decision for me.
people in the KSCO audience who are conservative were astounded that I would give, because I didn't get comped or anything. Some people say, well, I would go if I was comped, if I got a free ticket.
Right.
I said, no, I'll take $8 out of my pocket. No big deal, because I want to see what's going on. And it was an entertaining movie,
mm-hmm.
And what was even more entertaining was the reaction of the people in the theater.
Yes.
Now, at that particular time, I was not wearing my Fox News Channel jacket, which I like to do when I go out in public in liberal places to tweak the people. I love to do that. It's so much fun, you know. To get their reactions.
And you didn't wear a backward baseball hat either, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't do that. Maybe I should wear a... I since got a Fox News Channel a hat.
Do they wear it backwards?
No, but maybe what would I should do that so that people will think that I'm a Michael Moore, you know,
type.
Yeah,
yes.
Type, and then they will see the back, they'll be horrified. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Dr. Lena Fairhot Holtzman, and we're talking about world affairs. Want to invite you to call and participate. I know a lot of the KSCO people are gonna be very irritated because they heard something that surprised me about Lena, whom I've always had the highest regard for, still do, and I'm trying to understand. Well,
just be glad that I'm a good loser.
And I am, and my hat's off to you. And I'm just wondering why we don't have calls now, because that must be the reason. Because but no one listens to KSCO who isn't a Bush supporter.
Well, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I know what we'll do. We'll do the commercials. Let's do the commercials. In fact, we really should do that now and find out whether the Met Opera starts today or starts in a week from now. Does anybody know for sure?
I think it starts in a week from now.
We better be sure. We better be sure, because I'm telling you, if it starts today and we don't broadcast it on Comey, there will be no more KSCO and no more KOMY. The place will be bombed because of all the people who enjoy the Metropolitan Opera and who are counting on us. Does anybody know out there? God, what kind of a radio station is this? We don't even know what we're supposed to play when we are. But anyhow, let's play a commercial break now. We'll use that time to figure out what we should be doing around here. Stay tuned. There's more. MZ here with a great holiday gift idea and a wonderful deal for you. Now pay attention, you're going to like this. Vitale Ultimate Juice is probably one of the most thoughtful, healthful, and classiest gifts you can give anyone, and your favorite radio station is running a healthy holiday special for the month of December. For every bottle of Vitale you purchase and pick up from KSCO, you will receive a free bottle of Cherry Mins or Herbal Rainforest. This is truly an amazing deal, and it is our way of introducing you to this unique, great-tasting dietary supplement with the highest ORAC value of any whole food juice product on the market. Vitale is loaded with antioxidants, which are compounds that have been shown to slow the aging process by quenching free radicals in the body. Remember, free radicals are bad, antioxidants are good, and Vitale is a special formula of powerful, concentrated antioxidants that taste wonderful. Rich liquid Vitale comes in an attractive 32-ounce bottle that looks like a bottle of fine wine, a work of art for only $36.50 wholesale. But wait till you taste it. You'll be astonished that anything that tastes so good can be so good for you. At this great deal, you should buy a load of Vitale and give a bottle of it to everyone important to you. To get Vitale and your free bonus product, call Santa Jose Novo at KSCO 475-1080 and he will arrange to fix you right up. Remember, call KSCO at 475-1080 and ask for Santa Jose Novo, if for no other reason, just for the health of it.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. Got net?
It must be. It has to be. With that big sound, it's gotta be. KSCO.
Okay, have you noticed that I have a little more energy? In fact, a lot more energy today than I do in most Saturday specials when it's real snoozy and I put everybody to sleep. The reason is because I've been drinking that Vitale stuff, you know, that we talked about in the commercial. That stuff really works, and it's really worth the price. And if you guys are smart out there, you'll take the advice of the guy who voiced that commercial and buy a pile of Vitaly that makes great gifts. You know, seriously, call the radio station during business hours and take advantage of that wonderful special. It'll never happen again. I guarantee it. You know. So,
floating above the microphone.
Say that again?
He's floating above the microphone for those of you out there.
I mean, it's energy. I am so loaded with antioxidants. It's given me so much energy. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, I like being full of energy. Instead of talking like this, like I usually do on the Saturday special. So, anyhow, Lena, you were telling me during the break that you did an op-ed piece for one of the local...
For the Sentinel.
For the Santa Cruz Sentinel, okay. And during which you let the world in on some inside knowledge of yours.
Well...
Or a supposition, shall we say.
A supposition, and a pretty good one.
Okay.
I was moved to write an op-ed piece about two deaths that had happened in 1 week. One of them was Arafat, and the other one was Ivy Chang, a wonderful writer who wrote the book The Rape of Nanking, and a number of other things. Great Chinese-American writer.
Uh-huh.
She committed suicide on Highway 17, and I was more horrified by that than the death of Arafat, which I was not horrified by.
Yeah, I'm happy you added that part.
But what was interesting was that nobody was willing to say what the cause of death was, and I have never seen anything like this before.
Well, no, I heard some of the news reports before he died saying there's speculation that he may have AIDS.
Well, I didn't see it in print anywhere.
Oh.
I heard that it was on internet.
Fox News Channel.
Somebody had something. But none of the official reports ever said this. And so I wrote a piece talking about his death and talking about Ivy Chang's and what a loss hers was. And then I said in his case that it seems apparent that what he died of had to be AIDS because of a number of reasons, not only the symptoms, but the fact that anything else that it could have been was tossed out by the French doctors. They couldn't say what he died of, but they said it wasn't cancer, it wasn't leukemia, it wasn't a liver disease. They couldn't say what it was because his wife wouldn't permit the information out there. And then, of course, last week, the medical records were turned over to Arafat's nephew, the French doctors also said it was not poison. So everybody was looking, all the Palestinians were looking for the Israelis to be involved in this. Mm-hmm. Not poison, not leukemia, you know, it's not, but they wouldn't say what it was. Well, there was something that I read on internet about the spy chief for Ceausescu in Romania having done what we know they all did behind the Iron Curtain, taking pictures of their official guests secretly, and they were taking pictures of Arafat cavorting with his bodyguards. And so the news that he had died of AIDS was not a surprise to people who had heard this before.
Yes.
And this is written in the memoirs of this guy.
But what was a surprise to you is that you mentioned it in your
op-ed
piece.
Nobody said boo.
Nobody said boo.
Nobody did.
If someone wanted to say boo and felt that they couldn't for some reason, maybe they had writer's cramp because this is, you know, the way you say boo to a newspaper is you write a return letter.
Or
to the
send me an email.
If you want to make it easy and you want to say boo, call 479-1080 or 477-1340 right now at 25 minutes before 11 a.m. Hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special with MZ, December 4th, the year of our Lord. I like to tweak them, too.
Yes.
I'd like to say
Why
the
not?
Year of our Lord, 2004, because they get really upset when you allude to God or the
but
Lord.
But that's how we count, so it's okay.
So. and... So if you want to give us a call and participate in this conversation with Lena and me, MZ, please call us at 831-475-1080 or 477-1340. Or, okay, Serial Faxer sent me an email or a voicemail or something saying don't ever talk about the fax machines being dinosaur technology, because it's just not true. And I've said that a few times, and he said, please don't ever say that again. It's like putting an ice pick through Serial Faxer's heart.
They're still useful,
and that's the last thing I want to do is put an ice pick through Serial Faxer's heart, because if they do that and Serial Faxer expires, there will be no more Serial Faxes, and KSU will be less of a radio station
as
a result of that. So Anyhow, so I won't say that, but I will give our fax number proudly, 475-2967, and I will give out the email address to send to email your comment to the Saturday special, mz@ksco.com, mz@ksco.com. You can send an email now, anytime during the Saturday special. Hopefully I'll be able to read it on the air. You can send it to me anytime. In fact, I wish you would. I do my best to enter all respond to all personal emails. We haven't gotten that big yet, so that I could say I'm too important or you know, don't have any time. If people take the time to write a thoughtful email to me, I will still try. I'll do my best to take time to answer it.
I have my email address at the bottom of all my columns, and people do answer me, and I'm amazed at where these things go. I hear from all over the world.
Because people send copies and
stuff.
They
send copies, or I don't know if they pick it up online or what, but
right.
I'm really surprised to get something from Taiwan, for example, or from Iran. I got an email from Iran.
Well, there's that connection, you know. I mean, that shouldn't surprise you.
Well, they invited me to participate in a pro-Islam conference. And I thought that was really interesting. They can't have read what I've written.
Uh-huh.
But it's all right.
Richard in Watsonville wants to know why I think I'm not boring today. I didn't say I didn't think I wasn't boring. I just said I'm speaking faster than I normally do. That's all I said. Anyhow, here's a fax from Native Gary. Please, let's not perpetuate the myth that Bush stole the election in 2000. The whole thing was I don't know what this word says, ginned up.
Ginned up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. By Al Gore. The U.S. Supreme Court could only make that decision, which was according to the Constitution. I am not a big fan of Bush, but the big lie continues, and that's from Native Gary. Thank you, Native Gary. Thank you. Do you have any comments on that, Jack?
Yeah, I was just talking about the perception. Not the reality that he stole the election, but the perception is there on the part of Democrats who never got over it.
Right. Yeah, and if they do nothing else, if they go away with nothing else from listening to the Saturday special, they should everybody should go away with this message.
I think the important message is that this is our president and everybody should understand this, that we support whoever has been elected, whether we voted for the other guy or not. That's essential.
Oh.
That's what makes democracy work.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but simply stated, it's three words. Get over it.
Get over it.
Yeah. Is that too harsh? But it just cuts to the chase, right?
It does.
Yeah. All right, we have a caller on line one. It's a mobile caller. Ozzy wants to get on the air, so let's say welcome.
Hi there.
Hey, Ozzy, how
Hello.
Are you?
Hello.
Hi there. I just wanted to sort of comment on your statement about the death of Arafat changing the situation. I disagree totally. I said the mindset of the Philistines, 80% of them believed he was poisoned by Israel, and that's one of the latest polls. And, you know, the two prime ministers they had were number two and number three terrorists in business suits. They were responsible for just as many murders as Arafat. And we can't legitimize terrorism even if we try to. There's no peace partner, right?
I think there will be now.
Well, who is going to be the leader? Marwan Barghouti has been given seven jail terms, life sentences for murder, and he's one of the candidates. Would you think he'd be a peace partner?
I think he would be, and I think this is one of those surprises that's going to come out of this whole thing. He is a very good candidate. He speaks Hebrew as well as Arabic. He's young, and he's not corrupt. And I think that this is somebody who might have legitimacy. And it would probably, this is something the Israelis may decide to do.
But they want to destroy Israel. That's their whole concept. They don't want a peace treaty at all.
They haven't been until now. I think that they are seeing the handwriting on the wall. I'll tell you something. The other Arab states in the region are sick to death of the Palestinians. In spite of ginning up the mobs in the street. They're tired of them. They want to be able to do business and have a normal world again. And I think that if this happens, the issue is over.
I agree with that, but it's not going to happen under the present regime. You're talking about a murderer in jail being a candidate for prime minister. That's a joke.
Well,
the guy has killed people.
Things like this have happened before.
You can't legitimize murderers.
No, you can't. But remember Jomo Kenyatta and the Mau Mau in Africa? He became an extremely fine statesman. He was a terrorist earlier, and he became a statesman afterwards. This does happen. It's happened in the world before, and we just have to hope for the best on this.
I can't agree with that. Well, Robert Mugabe, what he's done to Zimbabwe. I mean, this is just absurd.
Well, he's awful, and he was awful to begin with, and he was a liar. That's something else.
But there'll be no peace without the Prince of Peace in Israel. You can't have a peace partner who wants to destroy you. The children have been brainwashed to destroy Israel, to kill Israelis. There's no possibility in this present sense. Besides, look what they did in Jordan. Look what they did in Lebanon. The whole of this situation. There are 22 dictatorial powers in the Middle East. Israel is the only one that's not. And it's only 10% of the land promised to them by Britain in 1917.
That's true. But you know something you need to consider. When people want to change, they do. And anybody who's taken polls of the Palestinians and the Israelis, it still is like 75% of both groups would like to have a peaceful settlement.
Yeah, but they want to destroy Israel. That's their idea of peace.
Well, I don't think that's the public idea of peace. I think that's the leadership. This was the Arafat group.
All I'm saying is I'll bet you $100 to a penny it won't happen under
we'll
any
see.
Circumstances because it's just not going to happen. And biblically, it's not going to happen because it's written in the scriptures that the land belongs to God and it's Israel. They can live in peace under Israeli control if they wanted to. They have for years. And those that don't want Israel to exist try to destroy them. So you can't have a peace partner that wants to destroy you. That's all I want to say.
You might consider even Hamas is ready to talk. As of today, this was the latest thing in the news. And that's new. And that's different. I'm an optimist on this. And I've always thought it could be resolved.
Hey,
talk is cheap. Actions speak louder words. Every time they do a peace treaty, they use it as an opportunity to regroup, to rearm, and to get stronger so they can defeat the so-called Zionist entity.
You're
There's
right.
There's no hope of them changing their spots.
You're right. You're certainly right about the past. I'm looking at the future, and I see some change coming.
I want you to expand on that a little bit later on in the program. Ozzy, great to hear from you. We appreciate that you called KSC. Are you a regular listener?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and you're on the... Where are you now?
I'm on 85 on the 101 heading towards Gilroy.
Oh, good. And we're coming in pretty loud and clear, are we?
Oh, it's a good area for the station, actually.
Good. Okay. Yeah, Michael Olson was right. We need to start, developing our business in the South Bay area.
Garlic.
Yeah, we got a good signal over there. Thanks, Ozzy. We appreciate your call to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCR. Next caller will be Gordon in Aptos, also on a mobile phone. Gordon, you're on the Saturday special.
Good morning.
So we're discussing the edification of that man who originated the modern concept of terrorism. And I wondered if anybody heard of the report. It's on the Internet, and it's an interesting read of the head of the secret police of Romania under the Ceausescu explained the connection and the leverage that the Soviet bloc had on Arafat, and it's because Ceausescu developed a close relationship with Arafat, and immediately, according to the usual Soviet secret police system, they put him under surveillance, and they had just endless footing of his pedophile predilection.
Right. And that's what I said in my article, and I was really surprised. Nobody responded to this.
Of course they won't have that. And the other thing is, the reports are in the intelligence community that Arafat, in fact, died of complication of AIDS.
Of AIDS, which is what I said last week.
And that's why the French won't release any information on it, because the Arabs, Muslims, don't hold homosexuals in very high esteem.
They'd go ballistic if this were public, and I don't understand.
Well, we're going to make it public right here on KSCO today.
Good.
Well, KSCO has a pair. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. That was Gordon on a mobile phone. That opens up.
So he backed me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That opens up a whole bunch of phone lines at 479-1080 or 477-1340. That's why people aren't calling, because they know, they erroneously believe that our phone lines are jammed and they won't be able to get
on.
Oh,
do call
in. 479-1080, 477-1340. Send us an email, mz@ksco.com, or fax us at 475-2967. It's 15 before 11, hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. Let's see. You know what I think, Aaron, I think what we should do probably right now is play the latest commentary from Kay. So let's do that. It's on a little different subject this time. It's not political. It's personal. Hmm. And yeah, let's do it.
Here is Kay's Whirling with a special message about breast cancer.
Last November, an unusual and rare type of breast cancer was found in a lady who suddenly developed a rash on her breast similar to that of young nursing mothers. It started with a small, sometimes itchy or burning pimple on the skin surrounding the nipple. Because her recent mammogram had been clear, the doctor treated her with antibiotics for infections. After two rounds, and the rash became worse, oozing and crusty even on the nipple, her doctor sent her for another mammogram, and this time it showed a mass. A biopsy found a rapidly growing malignancy. Chemo was started in order to shrink the growth, then mastectomy, then a full round of chemo, then radiation. After about 9 months of intense treatment, she was given a clean bill of health. She had 1 year of living life to the fullest. Then the cancer returned, this time to her liver. She took four treatments, then decided to opt for quality of life, not the after effects of chemo. She had 5 great months, and she planned each detail of the final days. After just a few days of needing morphine, she slipped away, saying that she had done what God had sent her into the world to do, and now it was her time. The name of the disease is called Paget's. There's another form of Paget's disease, and that involves the bones. This information came to me via email. Please forward it to all the women in your lives, mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, friends, and so on. It could save someone's life. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay's Whirling.
Okay. Great bit of information. Thanks, Mom, for passing that along. It's going to help a lot of people, I think, I hope. Yeah, so, all right. Let's talk about what you alluded to earlier about this being sort of a window of opportunity for the Palestinians and the Israelis to get together in a way it has never been before while our friend Mr. Arafat was breathing.
That's right. And, you know, Sharon would not be the president of Israel either if it hadn't been for Arafat. I mean, this is the Israelis are not generally that conservative. So I think that this is a window of opportunity. I think Sharon knows it. I think that the Palestinians know it, too, and they really want to jump on this. It's hurting both societies enormously, the Palestinians far more than the Israelis, of course. I mean, their economy is just at a total stop. And they've been able to survive like this because the Europeans and the United Nations has funded them, and the Arab world has sent in money. They're not going to do it forever. And I think it's time to end this thing and to settle for what they can get. And what they can get is not going to be bad. It's really going to just be an enormous boost to the whole foreign policy that we have of making some kind of democratization in the Middle East. This will be the beginning of it. They're going to have elections in the Palestinian territory in January, just as they will in Iraq.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, it's a start. It's a start that people will vote. I think there's going to be plenty of observers, so it's not going to be crammed ballot boxes. I think this is it's sort of a training. It's training wheels for democracy. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't think voting should be the first thing people do. I think democracy is a lot of other things first. It's developing institutions that make people ready. It's having enough of them literate. It's having them have practice at the village or the neighborhood level of voting. It's doing what we do. We start with it from kindergarten. We teach our children how to vote and how to be good losers. You know, how to not sulk after you lose in an election. All of these things are learned early. So this is what I would rather see around the world, but we're idealistically exporting democracy, and we're trying to do it in places like Iraq.
Well, we haven't perfected the anti-sulking vaccine in our own country yet.
No, we haven't. But
should start at home, don't you
think? It should, but we don't really do much about it. Just people are belly aching, but we're not going to the streets with it. And this is what happens in a lot of other places. Look at Ukraine, where they're taking it to the street because that was a crooked election.
Right.
You know, right. So I think that we really don't have a whole lot to complain about. And the system that we have, as flawed as it is better than anybody else's.
I will drink to that, for sure. Dr. Lena Farhat-Holtzman is our guest on the KSCO Saturday Special, 9 minutes before 11 a.m., give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340 with your perspective of world affairs. You mentioned the UN just a minute ago, mm-hmm. and what a great segue now. there is a growing sentiment from many people. I mean, surprising. I don't know. Maybe it shouldn't be surprising. For a long time, I felt that the UN should not be part of the UN, or it should be disbanded or something. It's just I don't think it's a worthwhile organization. I think it's our enemy. I think it's the enemy of the United States. What do you think?
I don't. And I worked for 7 years as the executive director of the UN Association in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the organization through its 50th birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had a lot of time.
Well, that doesn't mean that things can't change. Like the Anti-Defamation League.
That's right.
You know, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League used to be a wonderful organization, and it was taken over by a bunch of extremists that are unreasonable.
Well,
the same thing have happened to the UN? I grew up thinking the UN was wonderful, and
everybody
thought it was.
It's neither wonderful nor awful, and let me make this statement.
Yeah.
What I spent a lot of time doing in San Francisco was telling people what the UN could do and what it couldn't do and how to tell the difference. If your expectations are unreal, you know, you're going to be very disappointed in it. If the expectations are realistic, the social stuff that they do, the UNICEF, the World Health Organization, all of the agencies that work under the Security Council and General Assembly are very good. What doesn't work is peacekeeping and peacemaking. That we had had high hopes for it, and it's never been any good. The Security Council, no good. You've got 5 members, several of whom really shouldn't still be there, having veto power. This is no good.
Well, this is a good education for me. So evidently, those are the things that are no good that you just enumerated,
yeah.
that we hear about all the time.
That's right.
News. So in my mind, that's what the UN is.
No, it's all these other things
me.
As well.
Educate me.
The social organization. By the way, if you know that the UN dictates that every airplane that flies internationally must have language in English, aren't you glad that they've said this? This means wherever you fly, your pilot is going to be able to talk to somebody who will speak the same language. That's UN rules. There's UN rules about postage international. There's UN rules within the UN as GATT, the General Arrangement for Tax and Tariffs, all the meetings that are done, the law of the sea. There are just all kinds of things that people can get together, and these are always elite experts who get together and discuss how things should run. Where it's lousy is the General Assembly. And what is the General Assembly? Every member state of the UN belongs to the General Assembly, and they each have a voice, and they each have a vote, but their votes go nowhere. What they can do is condemn Israel. What they can do is, you know, they make noise. It's a cave of wind. But it's a wonderful thing to have a cave of wind than to have people shooting at each other. It's a vent. It's not a bad thing. And the Security Council now is under fire because the way it operated was that there are 5 permanent members who started the UN, and 10 rotating members.
I know there are people listening to KSCO now, probably quite a number of them, that are much more educated than I in the UN, probably not more educated than you regarding the UN, but who I would like to hear from, and I hope they will call 479-1080 or 477-1340. It'd be good to call now at 5 minutes before 11 just to get on. But, you know, if you want to wait till next hour, that's fine, too, because we got another hour ahead.
Right.
On the AM 1080 KSCO Saturday special. We do have callers here. Let's go to Mike in Santa Cruz on a mobile phone regarding the Ukrainian election. Hello, Mike. You're on the air. Welcome to KSCO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I was in the Ukraine last spring, and I was in Kiev, and I was in Odessa. And it was very interesting seeing, particularly in Odessa, what should be a beautiful country. It's got incredible natural resources, and you could see what the Soviet system did to it. They just emaciated it. They beat down the people. And what I found most interesting after being there for a while, I was there for 10 days, is that it reminded me of Santa Cruz. Beautiful natural resources, and the socialists are trying to ruin this area. And to me, what the socialists have done to Santa Cruz in the last 40 years is half of what the Soviets did to the Ukraine. And give SCAN a little more time, they'll have us as screwed up as Odessa and Kiev and the rest of the Ukraine. It's sad. The people are wonderful, but they're terribly beaten down. Their economies, and it's hard to even call it an economy. People are very desperate. You see no children. People are not having children because they don't want to bring them in to that world.
That's absolutely true. I was just in Berlin a couple of weeks ago, and I took a tour of West Berlin to East Berlin, or what used to be East Germany, and I was shocked to see the difference, how terrible it was under the communist occupation. And the people there are very much aware of it and very resentful of it, but they're fixing it now. And it can be fixed. And I think if the Ukraine really has a democratic election and they elect this good guy who is, he's a banker. He's not a politician. He's a banker. And he's Western educated. He's going to be very good for the country.
Yeah, he'll be very good for their morale, because there's a large segment of the population that misses the Soviets, because at least they had a certain amount
sure.
of food.
Sure.
And then there's another group that is very optimistic, but they've got a hard row ahead of them.
They really do, and I think that there's a possibility that the country will split.
Yeah, I was so moved by the people, but then the contrast to poor old Santa Cruz,
Oh, that's terrible.
It just makes me think, that, you know, what are these people who call themselves progressives thinking? They're about as progressive as a wheelbarrow compared to a dump truck.
Well,
awful. They're just awful. I came back from the Ukraine more convinced than ever that these people in Santa Cruz are out to ruin us. That's just me ranting. But I thought the contrast was the most interesting.
Well, ranting, Mike, we're so happy you called the Saturday special,
yes,
and hope you will call again.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Boring Jeff in Castroville. Boring Jeff!
Hi there.
It's so nice to hear your voice. How are you?
Oh, you're very kind.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, both of you. I was just calling in to say, I keep hearing Michael's talk about, aren't callers calling in? You know, a lot of us are listening, MZ. It's been
a very fascinating
conversation, and just want to let you know
I just want to share Lena with other interviewers. That's all. I can do fine myself, thank you. But she's worth having lots of people, you know.
Yep.
So we're happy you called in anyhow.
Just want to
all right, no more callers from now on. Steve and Selena, since you're on hold, we'll take you next. But no more callers for the rest of the hour.
Typical MZ, back and forth from one extreme to the other.
Right. Surely you called to say something more than that.
That was primary. I could comment on any of these things. I mean, Ukraine, a friend of mine actually spent some time there. Yeah, it's a gorgeous country from what he told me. And people have a wonderful attitude. But there's a lot of deep hatred between the Ukrainians and the Russians.
Yeah,
right.
And it should be better. And I think it will be better.
He was in Lviv or Lvov, depending if you're Polish, Ukrainian, or Russian. It's which way you pronounce. There's three different pronunciations.
Yeah, but we will hold you over the news if you want to, or you can call back, but we got to go for the news right now.
I got to go, too.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KMY Watsonville, back in 6 minutes.
Radio Network News, Kurt Lewis reporting.
More than 50% of the athletes are taking some form of anabolic steroids.
The man right at the center of the heart of the sports steroid scandal, referring to baseball.
I hate to hang up on you, but... sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSC.
this just in via fax. Do you think if Arafat was gay, he would have dressed like he did and had that ungroomed hygiene look? The pro-plaid headdresses, etc., never matched.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And furthermore, it says here, forgive me for this, it says furthermore, his beard was like pubic hair. Also, this is a great fax. And it's, by the way, it's from Fact Questioners Incorporated. And my guess, it's our good friend Cereal back in the fold again. B, he always did look real happy. That's what he says. So thank you very much, Fact Questioners Incorporated. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I've got to turn your mic on here.
I think Arafat was a master of theater. And really, everything that the Palestinians have done has been theater. It's been high theater.
Didn't read this word. Excuse me. Kaftan. Is it kaftan?
The kaftan.
Kaftan. Or, I'm saying it right.
Kefir?
It says that the pro plaid headdress.
Oh, the kefir.
Yeah, never matched his kaftan, and his beard was like pubic hair.
Well, that's getting a little personal.
He did always look real happy. So, this is a great fact, and there isn't even a cartoon on it. Oh, my God. Saturday special. Why is it so echoey in here? Maybe if I turn off the mic. It's 8 minutes past 11 a.m. on your favorite radio station, and you don't know why, but you just do. You just love us. I don't, you know, we all know. We know that you love us, and you don't know why, because there's no reason to love us, but you do. MZ with Dr. Lena Farhat Holtzman, expert on world affairs, used to live in Iran, used to be married to an Iranian, I believe, right? And, so you know a lot about what's going on here. You can shed a lot of light. It's always fun to have you on the Saturday special, always very enlightening. And it's a, it's a great opportunity today for people to call. I know I said no more phone calls after we take the Salinas call from Steve. You can decide whether I was kidding or not, ladies and gentlemen. Let's, as promised, we will take Steve's phone call. He's on line 4 from Salinas. Hey, Steve, thanks for waiting.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Lane, I wanted to ask, how many Sunnis do you think we're going to have to kill before we secure these voting places coming up?
Boy, I don't know. But, you know, I really think this whole business about having the election, I think that we can have it the end of January. And I think what we can do is pacify one area in the Sunni triangle at a time and let the people come vote. You know, the election won't all be on one day. It's going to be spread out a little bit. And I think that's how to make it work.
They're attacking the most secure places, supposedly, in Iraq right now.
I know they are.
They're butchering these trainees that we have out there.
They are.
The other day they butchered 60 of them.
I'll tell you something. This is not endearing them to the Iraqis. If there was sympathy for these guys before, there isn't any more.
Yeah, but you're not going to go out there and risk your life to vote.
And people do. It's happened before. There's such a desire for people to be able to participate in governance. They will do it. They will.
I don't know.
I wish they didn't have to do it under conditions like that, but you're going to see people going out and voting.
Okay, well, I'll wait and see.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, thanks for the call to the Saturday special. Our next caller will be number 2, Ron. Hello, Ron. You're on the air on KSCO.
Hello?
Yes.
I got a different beef. Today is opera day.
No, today is opera test day. Today is opera test day. The test is,
I talked to Bill Graff. He said today was the debut for the season.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for letting us know. I just saw something that says test, so thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Our next caller is line 1, Billy in Capitola.
As soon as you said no more calls, you know I had to call.
I know. That was just get you to come out of the woodwork. Here, you talk to Lena while I figure out what's going on with the opera here, okay?
Sure.
Lena.
Yes.
I would like to talk to you about the most interesting thing that you said today, and that is that you did not vote for Bush. And if I could, I'd like to interview you a little bit about that.
Sure.
I assume that, like me, you voted for Kerry because you actually were voting not to continue the Bush presidency. Is that true?
Not really.
So Kerry made the sale. He really seemed to you like a great presidential candidate?
No, he didn't. And as I said, I voted for him holding my nose. So I wasn't happy either way. I was concerned about certain domestic issues.
Exactly. Let's talk about them.
And those are the things that worry me most in the Bush administration.
And what's the big
The big one,
one
is the kind of nominees who he will appoint to the Supreme Court.
And the nominees are going to do what that you don't want to see happen?
It'll turn the court completely conservative rather than the balance that there is now with one swing vote.
And you prefer the balance?
I prefer the balance.
A right-wing court.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important that we have this balance.
So you would suggest that Bush, that a man who is president and insists on turning the court all one way, was showing really poor judgment and self-control, wouldn't you?
I would say that he's showing his base that he means what he says.
Here's my point, I guess. I've come to believe that the Bush administration and team are less interested in furthering true democracy in this country than in maintaining power. And I believe that they will try to create a ongoing Republican majority, specifically, you know, through the courts and anywhere else they can, and that's undemocratic.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem. And now we had the reverse of this for quite a long time, where the Democrats controlled both houses and the White House. I don't like it.
But somehow they seemed less aggressive towards the other side.
That's
in terms
true.
Of cutting them down. I mean, it seemed to me that Congress the other day, I saw the Senate vote on a bill that they had never seen for $360 billion, 1,000 pages. I thought that was committing fraud on the American people. We pay them to actually read the stuff, no?
Yes, we should. But I also think that you're not going to be able to count on people in the Senate or the House necessarily supporting the president, even though they're all Republicans. One of the wonderful things about our system is these guys are like cats. You can't really herd them.
Because ultimately, and let's say this about the political class, see if you agree with me, I've come to believe that as opposed to public servants, that really these people put foremost their re-election above anything else.
Sure they do. And the few who don't are what we call statesmen. And there are always a few of those.
But very few.
Very
few.
We can't really afford a whole lot of statesmen in our government.
You know, when Tom DeLay's in charge of your government, and you have things like this gerrymandering, I, for one, when I don't believe in I don't believe in America as a democracy anymore. I believe that we have these people who can make rules to defeat democracy so that they stay in power. Isn't that where
it has
are?
Been true on both sides, though. This is thing. This is and it's an issue that we should be fighting the issue, not the party. And I think that's very important.
Exactly. The fact is that I am unhappy with the political class in general.
Yeah.
But Republicans are so much scarier than Democrats because Republicans tend to be such major hypocrites in that they like to make rules for everybody else that they never follow themselves. They look into their own black hearts and then they
now,
try to make
here,
rules.
Now, so, now, here, now, Billy. That's not a fair thing to say.
Okay, why? And I get on the mic so we can hear you, Michael.
That's not a fair thing to say, Billy.
What was unfair, Mike?
They say they make rules for everybody else to follow, but not themselves?
Well,
do as I say, not as I do.
There's a lot of that.
There is a lot of that.
From the Republicans?
Sure.
From the Democrats? Not from the Democrats.
From the Democrats at times, too.
Okay, well, let's not have discussions about things that happen with both of them. Let's have a differential discussion.
Yes, exactly. For example, I keep hearing from Republicans they like less government and they're all for states' rights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the facts don't support that. When California and 11 other states voted for medical marijuana, it's sick old women should be able to eat, or like my dad, be able to get his nourishment back when he was sick. When they go to Oregon and tell Oregon they can't have their suicide law, I the fact is when they lost in Florida and they went to the Supreme Court, I can give you so many examples of them saying one thing and doing another where, for example, states' rights versus federalism.
You know, I'll tell you what this is. We saw this with Thomas Jefferson for the first time, that he had theories about governance that once he was in power he couldn't do, or that he really realized that he had to do the opposite to his theory. And I think what you have here with the Republicans, the old-fashioned what the used to be conservatives in this country really did believe in states' rights and really did believe in, you know, there was a certain amount of propriety.
That's right. That's right.
But what's happened is the name has remained, but the party has changed.
Exactly.
And once they're in power, it becomes something else. And the same thing's true on the other side. People on the far left profess one thing, and then when it's in their neighborhood, they don't want it.
Well, the fact is that the leaders of any movement are to be considered dangerous because they're obviously not reasonable people. They're people who are feathering their own nest.
No, they're ideologues. People who have a theory about how things work, and when it's put to practice, they change.
Let's go back to some of the things that worry you about George Bush going forward. Clearly, as you say, you're worried about the court. I think that's major.
Yes.
What are some of the things you think that this court's going to do to us?
Well, now, let me say that after all the worry that I had, now I'm convinced that if he does appoint or nominate people who are really obnoxious, the Democrats will filibuster.
Well, but wait a
and some Republicans will, too.
Didn't we just see
remember the Bork deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
Everybody remembers the Bork deal.
Here's the situation we find ourselves.
But then
ourselves.
There was the Clarence Thomas deal,
that's
too.
Right.
Huh?
So. That's right.
But
yes.
Here's the situation
democracy,
we find ourselves.
U.S. democracy in action.
That's how it works. Yes.
I got two words for you.
Yeah.
Senator Spector, he's had his male parts removed, hasn't he?
It is so hard for him to remain a Republican. I think that he's really a hero, that he's going to hang in there and try to work from the inside.
But what he basically said was, I'm not going to do anything other than do what I'm told by the conservative wing of my party because I'm so desperate to be the chairman. Isn't that what happened?
He said what he needed to become the chairman, then he'll do what he needs to. I'm sure he will. Because people do. You know, once you're confronted by the reality, the actions change.
We have so many callers now. We have
The phone is all lit up.
All because of Billy. All because of Billy. Okay, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. Have a good
Monica.
One. You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Okay, our next caller will be Santa Cruz Mike. He wants to know if I will take his call. I think the reason he wants to know if I'm going to take his call is because the last few times he's been, few calls to the comment line have been uncharacteristically whiny. He's not happy with our programming or something. So for that reason, he probably thinks I'm not going to talk to him again. Now, it's true, ladies and gentlemen, that if you compliment me, you get to stay on the radio for a long, long time. And if you diss me, you never get to call again. It's just, but I wasn't personally dissed, I don't think. I think he was just, I think he's upset with the programming. So as long as it's not personal, I think we'll let, we should let Mike, Santa Cruz Mike on because he's a wonderful caller normally.
Okay.
Unless he, we can find out here.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Good morning. How rude of you to bring this all up.
Why else would you ask such a question? Wants to know if he'll take his call.
Not only am I had completely forgotten about and set aside my issues with programming, but I just got bumped off of a poker tournament.
You've been bitching two or three times, and don't think I didn't catch that, you know.
Well, but I don't want to get to the programming because this woman is so interesting and fascinating and has so many good things to say. I want to get away from the things we'll deal with next week.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to Billy, as I always do, because he's so interesting and everything, and, you know, he has a nice little twist and spin on everything.
Billy Graff?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Billy Sunshine.
Oh, the last caller. Okay.
Yeah, the Sunshine Man.
Uh-huh.
And I can hardly wait till he gets his own show again, Mike. I just had to say that. But anyway, why is it that when the left...
Are you Billy's father?
No, I have no relationship. I don't agree with him at all. I just think he's fascinating.
Isn't that nice? I like that.
Do you think Billy is fascinating, Lady?
Yes, I do.
Now, be honest.
He's very smart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, he's clever. Let's not give him that too much credit.
Now,
let's say clever.
If Santa Cruz Mike hadn't complimented you, and I would have asked you about whether you think that Billy, whom you already know, but Santa Cruz Mike had already said that he likes Billy. Or
I liked
heard
him, too.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Hey, Billy's a likable guy.
Because I'm telling you, I've noticed something about human experience. When someone is criticized in any way, the person who they criticize is always going to be pissed off at the person and not like him.
It depends
If a person is nice, if a person is spoken highly of by somebody, then automatically the person says, "Well, I like you too."
Well, so you can also criticize and still be nice, and you can do it in a way that's not personal. It's not ad hominem.
See,
much better.
I like
okay, let's
that.
Get to the point here. Okay,
I know I'm taking up all the time.
I think you're flirting there.
With you?
No.
God, I'm not gay.
I'm
what
not
are you talking about?
I'm not a gay
You
journalist.
Sound like you're a man. I don't know for sure.
I'm a gay journalist. Anyway, hey, why is it that when things don't go right for the Democrats, they whine and cry and make it as though the Republicans do all these horrible things when the Democrats did the same thing for years, but the Republicans, instead of saying the system's fixed, it's rigged, what did the Republicans say? You know what? We got to get voters. We got to do something to make a change. What is the different mentality in the Democrats? That to them, everything is rigged. It's dishonest. It's controlled. But the Republicans, you know what? We got to get votes. We got to do something different.
I've heard it from both sides, though. I've heard the same whining from the other side. So, you know, I don't know. I think that the whining shouldn't be done. I think people really ought to do their best, make their pitch, and take their hits, whatever
right.
it's going to be.
That's right. And you know what? Think about this. Even though Bush won, and I have mixed reservations about Bush, even
yeah.
though I voted for him in Texas, by the way, and helped him unseat Ann Richards.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our country's a pretty good country.
It certainly
you know
is.
What? And, it's, and even if he makes a few mistakes, overall, our country is going to be just fine. You know, we'll get back on. If he's too extreme to the right and if he changes the Supreme Court, maybe it'll take 5 years, maybe it'll take 10 years, but we've got the systems in place so it can't get too far out of hand and we're going to correct it and fix it.
Santa Cruz, Mike, forgive me. I've asked you this before. I forgot the answer.
Yes.
You voted for Bush.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's not the problem that we're not going to be able to fix most of this stuff down the road. We can, because our system is so unwieldy. It's designed not to move very fast,
yes,
deliberately.
Yes, right.
But the business of the court, that's the only thing that really worries me.
What is going to change?
Well, because
what's the worst case scenario to you?
Somebody getting on the court like Clarence Thomas and staying on for 30 years.
Okay, but what decision is he going to make that upsets you?
It's not he alone. It's
well,
when you have a majority
again,
who...
Again, give me the decision that's going to be made that's going to change America.
Well, I certainly...
Is it abortion?
Yeah, that certainly is a big one.
That's a non-issue. That's not going to happen. Think about this. There's too many little white middle-class girls had abortions. There's too many people involved in it. There's too much money involved. That's not going to change for years and years and years.
I would hope not.
But even if it does, that's insignificant. It would be good that we had more respect for life again, wouldn't you think? I mean, do we want to be like third world countries where we just throw our kids out in the dump heap because it's inconvenient or it's embarrassing that our child got pregnant?
No, Kay called in.
She's not going to go on the air, but apparently she called in and says the Democrats are all sore heads.
That's a good one. What was your name again? I'm sorry.
Lena.
Zaina?
Lena.
Lena. What I'm thinking, Lena, is like, let's say that the courts go to the right a little bit. I'm trying to think of any issues. I can't think of anything that's going to destroy our judicial system. Our judicial system already has problems. You know, we had the three strikes you're law and three strikes you're out, and maybe that made a difference and maybe it helped. But there's something within our whole judicial system and our criminal system that is broken, and maybe a change in the judges will somehow have to get it fixed is what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
But
the things that I am concerned about, and I think there are some interesting cases before the court right now that will determine how it's going to go, and one of them is the case about states who decide that medical marijuana is okay. And what's interesting to me is that if this is a really conservative court, they should be believing in and supporting states' rights. They should be believing in supporting Oregon's right to have, death with dignity, if that's what the Oregonians voted for twice. But I really don't like the idea that, on the left, states' rights, the people who are on the left supporting states' rights support California and Oregon. The people on the right who support states' rights in the past were supporting not having blacks vote because a state said that they didn't want them to. Each one has their own things that they believe in, and they don't see the whole picture. You either believe in states' rights or you don't.
Well, you know why I don't believe in states' rights?
Why?
Because I was raised in the South, where each individual state could keep you ignorant and backwards like the Democratic Party did in North Carolina.
That's really
Georgia
true.
And Alabama for over 100 years.
That's true.
That's why I like the, it's like, why do we have, it's like before the Civil War, it was we are the United States of America. Now
yeah.
we is the United States of America. The federal government gives us a uniformity.
Sure.
So it's unwieldy that we cannot have with excessive state rights.
You're right. And that's the direction we've gone.
We would still have slavery, probably, to some degree.
That's right.
If it wasn't for a federal government. So that's why we got to, Matter of fact, we should have a federal driver's license. It's ridiculous to have all these, all the bureaucracy and things we have to duplicate things in the states we don't need.
There are certain issues, though, that the states, I think that one of the parts of vitality for this country is that states can experiment.
Well, no. I think our culture can remain distinct so that we can still, West Coast is very different from the rest of the country.
It is, it is.
It can still remain that way, even though if it had standard laws like, say, North Carolina or Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the identity is not in the laws, it's in the nature of the people. And that's what I think we have to remember. So I think we should have no state laws. It should be a uniform federal code of law in the state laws, the state court system, et cetera, so that when you go from state to state, it's uniform. Everything, you don't have to learn new types of driver's license.
Right.
No type of judicial procedures. Everything's the same, but we're still going to keep our different culture.
I'll give you a little problem with that, though. For example, driving rules for Montana really are not going to be the same when we talk about speed limits as driving rules in a very concentrated urban community.
You put speed limit signs up just the way we do now. What I'm saying, he would still turn right on a red light or not. You know, things
sure.
like that should be uniform. It's ridiculous to have all these drivers. And then we'd have a great source of national ID, which we need. Then we would have a more unified Wait. Front.
It makes me a little nervous.
No, Santa Cruz, Mike. No. We do
too
not
much
need
power
a
in the government
no, no,
that way.
We do not need a national ID. We essentially have one already, I know, with
one.
A Social Security card, but...
You know what?
Yeah. Don't say. Then why do you say we need one if you admit that we have one already?
The reason why, because the Social Security card is used indiscriminately and used haphazardly and used against us when it's convenient for a large corporation. When we have a national ID card that says this defines who you are, then there will be the proper laws that consistently protect our identity and protect us, and it has some authority behind it. Right now, you go down to the bank, there's a long list of all the types of IDs you need to do anything. That's why the Mexicans, illegal Mexicans, can get bank accounts, and they can do things they shouldn't be doing. If we had a national ID card, like a passport, you go into China, what do you have to do? You have to carry your passport everywhere you go. You go into Taiwan, the same thing. You have a national ID everywhere else in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen in the KSCO audience, are you thinking what I'm thinking? A Saturday special on that issue,
yes.
The national ID
yes.
card with,
yes.
with Santa Cruz Mike in the yay position.
By the way, do you know who is doing that? The British are going to do it now. This is the first time ever, and it would make a real stink here. I'll tell you, people will come out of the woodwork against it.
But tell me why. What is there to be afraid of?
I don't know. I'm not, but I think there are an awful lot of people who would be. They would think that it's their privacy.
Well, there is no such thing as privacy in the modern world. I want a national ID card for this reason. That's how we get our foot in the door to say, if you don't have a national ID card, which comes from being a citizen, or illegal immigrants, you get deported out of this country. That's why I want a foothold in something. We can say, this is it. You got
okay,
it,
he convinced me. We don't need to have a Saturday special.
Yeah.
Listen, Santa Cruz Mike, I've asked you for this before. You've given it to me. I'm disorganized. I lost it. I want you to please call 429-2222 and give me your phone number.
You want
that
me to
way
bitch some more about this program?
Well, yeah, it shouldn't be done on the air. It should be done privately.
It was such an honor to talk to this woman because it's so nice to see our women so strong and so vibrant and standing up for so many good things.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Isn't that nice?
That really is nice.
Do call the comment line, and that way it'll go into my voicemail. The voicemail will go into my email, and,
yep.
and I won't I can't lose it. Okay.
Right, talk to you later, Mike.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. There goes Santa Cruz Mike. Here is old West Side Al himself, WSA. You're on the air at 11:30. Hi, KSCO.
Hello.
I got a couple things to call you to task for, my dear, but first of all, I want to remind you, your remark about the conservatives liked states' rights when it helped preserve the states' rights to have slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 600,000 Americans died to eliminate that particular states' right, and it was under the leadership of a Republican named Abraham Lincoln.
That's true.
So that's sort of...
You can take me to task, but, you know, the Republicans have changed over time. The party doesn't look like it did then.
Yeah, just what I said about the UN.
I
said about the UN and just what I said about the Anti-Defamation League, which
sure.
has become the Defamation League.
Groups change.
I was specifically addressing your comments regarding conservatives wanting to preserve state rights in order to preserve slavery, and I don't believe was necessarily the case. There were other things going on, like the northern states were manufacturing entity, the southern
sure.
states were agriculture. The northern states put tariffs on the kind of machinery that the south needed to produce their crops because they didn't want them buying it from abroad. They wanted them to just buy it from the northern states. There was a lot going on back then that most people don't care to understand.
Well, let me throw in something that's going on right now that I think is rather interesting. What used to be the solid Democratic South, which was racist and bigoted and, you know, pro-white power, now is the solid Republican South.
That's right.
And what's interesting to me is that they did not change positions. They just changed parties. And you look at some of the people, some of the candidates or the officials who are in our government from the solid Republican South, and they're pretty conservative. Not conservative in a good way, but in a bad way.
Well, they're just about like the Democrats were in the past.
That's right.
Point out. Yeah.
That's right. So, see, this is what we're talking about. Parties very often change.
Absolutely.
Where are the good midstream Republican conservatives who used to be the really decent Republicans who were, you know, who made a lot of sense to me?
Well, I think they're going to see their day.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
Well, they're going to see their day again. I think they're on the rise. But listen, let me move on to a couple other things.
Okay.
First of all, Bloviating Billy, I think he's interesting. I wouldn't give him too much credit for anything beyond that. I mean, the man admits himself that he doesn't even vote, and yet he bloviates on and on and on about the destruction of democracy. So,
I didn't know he didn't vote.
That's what he says.
Okay.
Did Billy lose a lot of points in your brain just now, if assuming that's true?
I think that's too bad. Yes, I think bright people should vote.
On to something else that you said to open the show, Doctor. You said that you had voted for Kerry, but you had not read Unfit for Command, and on the other hand, you had not seen Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's
right. As if there was some comparison. Fahrenheit 9/11 was pure propaganda.
Sure.
The Unfit for Command book, along with another one that I have called The Many Faces of John Kerry, are factually based. I think you would have done yourself a favor to have read either one of them.
Well, it's not as if she can't still.
I can still, but the fact is that I lost that election, and I wasn't very enthusiastic to begin with.
You could feel, you could still feel even less bad about having lost the election if you read this.
Well,
I don't like it for either candidate. I don't like this kind of thing. This is not what was going to move me. I didn't want to hear all the negatives dredged up and presented in a way that they're really very one-sided and not necessarily true. And that's what I was
resisting. Hal, that is part of negative campaigning, huh?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I want to hear what ideas they have, why they think that they can run the country, what it is that they're going to do.
Well, it was your candidate that stood up and said John Kerry reporting for duty and made his whole campaign swing around his Vietnam service. And if you read either one of these books, especially Unfit for Command, which is very well documented, you'll see why people were alarmed that this man, who they were willing to let set up in Massachusetts as a senator for 20 years, they were not willing to let him be the commander-in-chief.
And
do you think enough people read that book that it swayed the election?
I'll tell you the three things that swayed the election. The media and their negativity, which turned a lot of people towards Bush.
Wow.
Michael
really?
Moore.
You really believe that?
Yes, and Michael Moore and the other propagandists from Hollywood and the Swift Boats. Those are the three factors that I think swung the thing for Bush.
I think so, too, and it wasn't that book, which most people did not read one way or another.
Yeah,
well, they
most
saw
people,
him on TV.
Yeah.
They saw John O'Neill on TV on a number of talk shows and other veterans, too, and the idea that Kerry would come back from Vietnam after 4 months and then turn on his own brothers, it really peed a lot of people off.
That offended a lot of people, and I'm sure that this was one of the elements that led people to vote as they did. I think that there were plenty of people, I also spoke with a number of traditional Republicans who were going to vote for Kerry because they were upset with Bush. So there were crossovers on both sides. People were not happy in this election.
Well, they'll have to just get over it, as Michael says. One last thing
before
I go. If you look at a map of the California vote, you'll see with a 54 to 46 is what Kerry won by, and most of the state went for Bush, except for the San Francisco, L.A. metropolitan areas.
Well, this is the big difference across the country, too. It's the big metropolitan areas versus the rural areas.
That's why we must retain the Electoral College, or everyone else in the country will be disenfranchised, and the candidates will spend all their campaign money in the big cities and just not even bother with anywhere else.
I tentatively made the same analysis when we were having our Patriot Day gatherings around this county. I think everybody except me, agreed that we ought to get rid of the Electoral College. I don't like it, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to get rid of it.
Well,
so
unless we can come up with something better that still represents everyone in the country and not just the the areas where people are concentrated, I guess we have to keep it. Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you
very much for calling WSA. That was WSA.
West Side Al
and his orchestra right here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, where it's 24 minutes before 12 noon. Only we're getting into the home stretch of the radio show here. You want to give us a call, there is a line open at 479-1080 and 477-1340. We've got a couple lines. We have Pat in Santa Cruz about hypocrisy. We have James in 60 years in Seaside. I don't know if that means James is 60 years old or 60 years living in Seaside. Michael from Salinas wants you to tell guests that without hindsight, there is no foreskin. I mean, foresight is what it says. Excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also have James and Rodent also from Scotts Valley. Well, let's go to James since he's calling from so far from long distance here. James, you're on the air. You're in Seaside, are you?
Yes, I am, Mike. But I'm a member of the original John Booth Club. I'd like to say hello to Al, and I don't know if Richard is still around.
You can say hello to John Booth too. He's around, sort of. I mean, he's around in some way or another.
Oh, I thought he passed on.
He did, but he's around.
Oh, yeah, well, hello to him, too, then.
Okay.
But I was calling you to take you to task about this Democrat representing minorities and the Republicans not really caring. And I find that to be a great misconception of the way things really are. Because for 60 years, the Democrats been promising me as a black person that, hey, just stand on the corner and wait, we're going to give you something.
Uh-huh.
The Republicans didn't promise me nothing. But they did tell me that if I was qualified, they would give me the chance to make it on my own. And George Bush has never promised a black man or a Mexican nothing. But when he got elected president, he looked at the people who were qualified, and he did not look at color, creed, or anything. He took the most qualified people, irregardless to who they were, and he put them in positions.
He certainly
now, the
has
Democrats
your
have been the Democrats have been promising me, you vote for me, I'll make it better for you, so help me. And as soon as the election is over, they don't even want to see me. But the Republicans, as a party, has given me a chance to stand up with dignity and say, I am a proud Republican who know what the meaning of being somebody, if I want to be, really is. Not because somebody feels sorry for me, but because I am qualified, I have got as much chance as anybody else that ever wore a pair of GI boots. Now, that's something for me to be thankful for.
It is, and I hope that you're right, and I think that this would be a real boon for the Republican Party if you are, because they will get voters like you.
It is a real boon for the Republican Party, because most blacks that work and want to take care of their families, they do vote Republican. They don't go out and make a lot of noise because that's not the Republican way of doing things. They don't make a lot of promises because they're not trying to fool anybody.
Well, this is a change in our system, then.
What a call. What a call.
Promising all my life, they made all kind of noise.
Well, thank you.
They put Jesse Jackson up front when they need something, and then as soon as they get what they need, you never hear anything about Jesse Jackson.
I think this is certainly the most powerful phone call in this program, and I think it's probably the most powerful phone call we've received at the radio
station.
It's
very interesting.
Hey, James?
Yes?
Would you do me a favor, please? Would you please call 429-2222 and leave your name and phone number so that we can contact you?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your call on the Saturday special.
I do miss John and Richards on Saturday when we used to have these really good conversation.
Well, that's one of the reasons I want to talk to you here, because we want to see what we can do to, do the best we can to make that sort of thing happen regularly.
Okay, and what was that number again, please?
429-2222. That's the KSCO comment line that people can leave they don't need a computer or anything. They just a regular voicemail that people can leave, and within a second of when they hang up, it goes right into my voicemail, and I have a I have a record of it forever and a recording so that we can use it on the air if we think it's really good or whatever. See what I'm saying? I won't do that. I won't put your phone number on the air. I just want to know who you are and what your phone number is, with your permission, of course, because I would like to have you on as a guest on the radio station here sometime.
Okay, and I got one more thing to say about Kerry, if it's all right with you.
Sure, sure.
Okay, Kerry came back from Vietnam, and I went twice and said that he was a soldier. I have never known no soldier in the 24 months that I was in Vietnam that get wounded and didn't want to come back to Vietnam. Kerry had 3 wounds that he couldn't show you today where those wounds were, and he couldn't get out of Vietnam.
Or wouldn't, which probably means he couldn't.
Yeah. You know, he couldn't get out of Vietnam fast enough.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really a soldier.
Yeah.
You know, he was just somebody in soldier's clothes. And that's why he didn't win the election. It wasn't but what people were saying. There are a lot of people out here that were soldiers, and they know how soldiers act. They know the things that soldiers do. Soldiers don't run.
Yeah, he wasn't Cowards convincing. Run. I think that you're right about that. He wasn't convincing. Yeah.
Well, he couldn't be convincing because he was never really there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
you
James.
Know, I appreciate the time that
Seaside
you gave.
Seaside James, we really appreciate your call. Thanks very much, and please call again. Okay, that was James in Seaside. It's 18 minutes before 12 noon. Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340 if you want to participate through the telephone system here on our program with Dr. Lena Farhat-Holtzman and MZ. Send us a fax to 475-2967 if you want to participate that way, or send us an email to mz@ksco.com. You can do that any time, but do it during the next 10 minutes if you want to participate on the program. We did get from Serial Faxer the cartoon. He said, okay, here's your cartoon. It's a great cartoon of Arafat. It's just priceless. I know I've talked about putting these up on the website. Day and Night Dennis is here. Cyril isn't. I'm going to need to consult with our brains in this department about developing an automated way for Serial to fax his cartoons, not only to KSCO, but directly to our website so that people can enjoy them immediately without us having to do it. We can automate this system. There's got to be a way to do that with technology of today. Roden from Scotts Valley said it would make much more sense if you called it the United Countries of America. Okay. Michael from Salinas wants to tell you that the guest wants you to tell guest that without hindsight, there's no foresight. I did say that. Okay, yeah, I said it a different way here.
Yes, he did.
Didn't mean that. We just sort of, well, yeah. We need to do a commercial break, don't we? We need to do a commercial break for the second hour. And, you know, somewhere in there, can you do my the thing about the vital statistics of the radio station? I think that's a two-minute thing. I think that's important for people to know because, you know, we're on a continuous quest to make the station better and better and better and better. So let's do that. If you could stick that in there, Aaron, I'd appreciate it along with the other commercials. And stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California. We will be back with the closing 10 or 15 minutes of the Saturday special.
The sun sets earlier and the night grows colder. It's time to supplement with some extra light and warmth. Hello, Michael Olson here with the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. One of the best ways to add light and warmth to your winter evenings is with a fresh, ever-so-fragrant Lions Club Christmas tree. Lion Christmas trees, or Hanukkah bushes, as fellow Lion Arnie Levine calls them, will lift the spirits of your family and friends in ways no artificial made-in-China plastic fantastic apparition can ever do. But don't take my word for it. Visit the Lions Club Christmas tree lot in Coral Street next to Costco and see the magnificent Douglas Grand and Noble firs for yourself. And here's a little extra warmth. Know that 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of a Lion tree will go to help people in our community see and hear, and to help our youth grow into productive citizens. Pick up the spirits of your family and friends. Pick up a Santa Cruz Host Lions Christmas tree at the Portuguese Hall on Coral Street near Costco in Santa Cruz. Happy holidays.
2004 Greater Bay Bank N.A. Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
Once upon a time in a bank.
So, what do you think of my construction project?
Well, Mr. Thompson, we've looked at your application and checked your credit, but...
Yes?
Headquarters back east gave us strict guidelines on commercial loans, and your project just isn't big enough. You see, we're not interested in wasting time on little projects. We're a...
national bank.
But this is my great project, my biggest yet.
When your bank treats your project like small potatoes, go to Coast Commercial Bank. Coast Commercial Bank is local people providing loans and banking solutions for local businesses, large and small. And we've proudly served Santa Cruz County for nearly a quarter century. Whether you need a construction loan or a checking account, we're in business for your business. Come to Coast Commercial Bank. Still, local people, local money, local bank. Coast Commercial Bank.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and I and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hello, Americans. This is KSE owner MZ with some vital information about our stations for you. In the extremely unlikely event that you become bored with our programming, you should immediately log on to our KSEO.com website and become immediately stimulated. If you have comments or suggestions, for a limited time, you may submit them to me for free. Email mz@kseo.com or leave voicemail for MZ on our special KSEO comment line at 831-429-2222. Negative comments not permitted here. Only compliments, please. Now, if you must complain about something or someone, call KSEO during business hours at 831-475-1080 and ask for Jose Novo or Rosemary Chalmers. Try your best not to be too abusive, and they probably won't hang up on you. To advertise on KSEO or KOMY, call Scott Free, Michael Olson, or Rob Gaither at 831-475-1080. To report a news story, call Vera Sarkissian or Rosemary Chalmers at 831-475-1080 so KSEO can scoop all the other local media. Now, if you have an idea for a promotion that is something to make you famous and to make KSCO more famous, call Scott Free at 831-475-1080. And finally, if you want to get on the air and make people admire you, pity you, or hate you, call one of our local talk shows at 831-479-1080 or 831-477-1340. Remember, we do reserve the right to ban callers who repeatedly offend KSCO staff, management, ownership, or listeners, and in very extreme such cases, may temporarily or permanently withdraw your KSCO listening privileges. Shalom.
This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, California, 1080 on your dial.
Thank you, Aaron. And can we bring up before the end of the program that intelligent ID somewhere? Yeah, we need to start playing that more because I'm serious about that. I mean, we want this to, we already are the station with the most intelligent audience of any radio station, but we there's always room for improvement, right? Yeah. So what did you say, Lena?
You need more.
Okay. apparently, yeah, speaking of breeding hatred here a little bit, we really shouldn't do this, but we, in fairness, we should. Billy Sunshine called on the business line and to correct West Side Al. He said actually he did vote in this election.
And I'm so glad.
Uh-huh. And so, and he said it was a hateful, well, the presumption, he didn't say this, but the presumption was that West Side Al throws the rock and hides the hand. Well, no, he doesn't hide the hand either. I think he did, was upset with West Side Al.
Yes.
For making that. But he did also say that he is not intending to vote ever again.
Oh, dear. Just after I was going to forgive you.
Yeah. All right. Here is, and if you're on the line, we'll promise we'll get to you. It'll take, but I got to read this, fax from, it's a fax. Greetings from Lincoln, Montana. You see what happens when I go away for a little while? Billy gets back on KSCO. A wise move, Michael. Anyway, this is just a note to let you know that KSCO AM 1080 is coming in loud and clear here in Montana. And I'm sorry I missed the potty. Call you sooner, or it's a see you sooner rather than later. Steve Hartman. And it just says here, The speed limit in to my town is 75, two-lane, but folks here don't drive like Californians. When we have snow, we slow to 60. And there's a wonderful picture of Yasser Arafat that says, "No virgins? No virgins?" And he's shocked and horrified. That's a great. This isn't a cartoon.
I've seen that. What would he do with them anyway?
That's very funny. Yeah, that right, exactly. Okay, back to the phone lines, 10 minutes before 12 noon. Let's see, we must be fair. We must be fair on KSCO. Okay, let's go to, we've already been to James. How about Gary in Castroville? Okay, line two. Gary, is that you?
Yes,
welcome,
it is.
Welcome to KSCO.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been listening to your program, as I usually do, and typically I enjoy it, and this is a topic that I have a personal particular interest in, and is so often the case, conversations like this, the points seem to go back and forth and sort of wash over each other.
Yeah, you're right.
But a few minutes ago, and a lot of good points, by the way, well-defended positions occasionally, and some are a little bit inane, but that happens. But a few minutes ago, you had a man on who really cut through the fog and delivered a message that caused me to stop what I was doing.
It's got to be James in Seaside.
From the sound of his voice, he was a black man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James, that was James. Yeah.
And I just liked what he said, and I wanted to call and say, find out who he is and get that man on your show.
Did you hear me ask him to call the comment line at 429-2222, tell me his name and phone number privately so it would go right into my email and I'd have it forever?
Well, I hope he does.
I think he will. I that was the best call. We've had great calls on this station. I don't think we've had a better call than that. More cogent, just to the point. Powerful.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah. And I especially liked the way he undressed Kerry. I think his points were exactly
on
target.
This is not television. I wish it was. This is one of the few times I wish it was television so I could have a camera pointed at Leda's expression when you said that.
Yes.
Oh, that's the stuff I don't like.
Well, you know what? I'm from that generation.
Sure.
And although I was in the Merchant Marines at the time, I didn't do anything to slip away. And one of the points that he made about Kerry that just got me was that Kerry was not a soldier. He was just somebody wearing soldier's clothes. And, you know, and that man from Seaside just totally took his clothes off. And he left Kerry standing there for everybody to see exactly what he was.
Castroville, Gary, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Really appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. Our next caller will be Skip in Boulder Creek. I don't know who's on line four. It's blinking, but it's not on my screen or else I have a blind spot in my eye or something. I'm not seeing it. But here's line three, Skip. You're on the air. Skip, are you there? Hey there.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I'm on a cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone.
Okay.
I wanted to respond to Santa Cruz Mike's call for a national ID card.
Yeah.
Well, the problem I have with that is the United States is a republic comprised of some 50 sovereign states and territories, and I'm not prepared to give up my sovereignty yet as a Californian. So I don't necessarily go along with the concept of a nationalized government. I prefer the system of sovereignty within the states and states' rights.
Right.
And this push toward national and centralized government concerns me to an extent. And as far as I know, the only citizens of the United States are those citizens from territories like Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., those who are Americans that aren't within the sovereign states.
Passports. We have passports that indicate that we are citizens of the United States.
Well, I don't. No, you don't. I can get a passport. In fact, the last one I did get, I got from the Indian reservation I was on, and they also are sovereign nations and issue passports. So I don't have to go to the U.S. government to get a passport. I can get one from an Indian nation.
I can't. So, I have to go to the U.S. government for mine.
But all that is permission. Is an ID card for travel. That doesn't give you any significance.
Skip, we got to move on. But I want to ask you before.
Wait.
No. before you go, I want to know, if you will, you don't talk as fast as Santa Cruz Mike, but do you feel comfortable being in the studio if we set up a crossfire on that subject with him?
Not a problem.
Cool. Okay.
I feel very comfortable doing it.
Please call, do the same thing. Please call 429-2222 and just give me your name and phone number.
So that 2222? We can
get, yeah, 429-2222, and that is our listener comment line.
Okay.
And I hear it, and I hear it directly, and so, I'll be able to, I won't lose your phone number then. Okay. Thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Z-Man, Lena has sold, this is an email, Lena has said some incredibly thoughtless, I want to say stupid, but that might not be accurate, things today. Her comment about not wanting to the negative things about candidates, I think there's a word missing there, but rather what qualifies them to be president and how they will run the country is an amazing statement. What if Al Capone had run for president? He may have had some good ideas for running the presidency and the fortitude of strength to do so, but he did have some quirky habits, and that's from Vernon. Wait just a second. Well, go ahead, real quick, because there's another one here.
I just don't buy that. I'm sorry. Okay. I think negative campaigning sucks.
Okay, and here's an email from Landon. MZ, could you please forward the contents of this email to Santa Cruz Mike, as Mike appears to have relationships in China, and I'd be interested in discussing business with him. Please have Mike go to... Something tells me this is not meant to go on the air. That's pretty funny. All right. We'll go ahead. There is one other email here from... I guess that's it. So that's it for the emails here. We've got two or three minutes left, and we have one caller. That would be Millie in Rio Del Mar. Hey, Millie. You're welcome to the Saturday
Michael.
Special.
Thanks a lot for last night.
A minute. We don't want people to get the wrong idea.
I've got to talk fast. This is for West Side Al. Misinformation. Kerry served two tours, not one four-month tour.
That's right.
He served another tour that was a little under a year. And this is for the caller, James. Kerry was not in the Army, was not a soldier, James. He was a... I don't know if it's the right designation. He was a type of Navy SEAL operating from ships. So there's a lot of information that's gone on in this show. But thank you for your good part in it, Lena.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I read your column every week.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
There goes Millie in Rio Del Mar. And that's perfect timing, I guess, because we're a minute and a half from the end of the program.
Good.
Z-Man, I had a nightmare last night. I was watching TV, and they showed the Supreme Court justices. To my horror, they were all Billy Sunshine, and that's from Vernon.
All right.
Very, very good. Very good. Hey, it's been a slice of heaven.
It's been fun.
To say the least.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming back in. Always a delight to talk with you. Always a delight to read you. And, have a real... Happy holiday.
Thank you. And next time we'll talk about Iran, because I'm sure it will become much more prominent.
We do have 30 seconds
that
we can talk about Iran now. What do you want to say?
That they just live in a bad neighborhood, and what they're doing is a little bit of political theater, too. I wouldn't take it all that seriously. They're not about to lob one on anybody.
That's great. You know, that at least I think that was a good thing that just happened here. You cut to the chase,
yeah.
And not that you are ever, you know, long-winded about anything, but... I think that's great that we had the opportunity for you to do that here before the end of the Saturday special. So that's great. Dr. Lena Ferhat-Halsman, thank you very much. Thank you to Kay and Rosie for a fabulous job of organizing the KSCO holiday potty yesterday. Thank you for Aaron, the pilot in command. Thank you for Dennis for call screening. Thank you to everybody for listening. Back next week. So stay with us here.
That's all, folks. The world are cheaters.
The whole history of the Olympic Games is just full of corruption, cover-up, performance.